This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, ilahu al-awwaleen wal akhireen. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasooluh. Ballagha ar-risalah wa adda al-amanah wa nasaha al-ummah. وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وبعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, from the greatest wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created companions for people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created friends for human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just create Adam alayhi salam, but then He created his wife as well, which is our mother Hawa. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why He has created a companion, a friend for Adam alayhi salam, is because truly insan is weak. And insan, mankind, requires friends in order to live. In fact, the word insan, the meaning of it is a person who ya'lafu wa yu'laf in Arabic, meaning that he needs to be with people. He needs to congregate with people. He needs to mix with people. So from the essence of a human being is that he needs to be with people. And he cannot be a hermit, as we say in the English language. He cannot be a hermit. A hermit is a person who, for example, stays away from people, stays in the caves or in the woods, etc. Away from the eyes of society, stays by himself. It is impossible for a human being to be like that. Rather, he always needs to be with fellow companions. So he's truly in need of friends, and a human being would be therefore driven mad were he not to have friends. If we therefore investigate the need of human beings to have friends, the question must therefore be asked, who is the best friend to have? Who is the best friend to have? Who is the friend that will truly fulfill the criteria of the best mate that a person can have? Without doubt, I'm sure you will agree, the only being that can actually fulfill completely all aspects of a person's of the term a friend is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the friend of the believers. He is the person who truly can be our best friend. And truly, as we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرًا خَلِيلًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا. As Rasulullah ﷺ had said in an authentic hadith, if I were to take anyone to be my bosom buddy, to be my close friend, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as my close friend. Because Abu Bakr was so righteous, he was always looking after Rasulullah ﷺ, always put Rasulullah ﷺ above his own self. So this is the characteristic of a true friend. And if I were to take anyone, then I would take Abu Bakr, however Allah has taken me as his close friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken Rasulullah ﷺ as his close friend, as he had taken before that Ibrahim ﷺ as his khalil, as his close friend. So truly, brothers and sisters in Islam, the greatest gift that a person can have is a close friend. And what better friend than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the greatest misery that a person can have is to be alone in the darkness. And in fact, if you look at the punishment that is applied to people these days, and the punishment, one of the ways of truly punishing a person, one of the ways of truly making sure a person mentally breaks down is to give him solitary confinement. Is that not so? Is to totally confine the person away from anything, away from eyes of the people, away from hearing a voice, and you will see the person being driven mad. And in fact, if you read the stories of those people who have been tortured, you will see the greatest torture they can say is solitary confinement. Is truly solitary confinement. Whereas we find Rasulullah ﷺ talking about how the best friend is truly the best of provisions. And he tells us, خَيْرُ الْمَطَاعِ إِمْرَأَةٌ صَالِحَةٌ. The best of provisions is a righteous woman. So he tells us how, for example, a righteous woman who is your wife, and she is your best friend, she is your best maid, you tell her your secrets. She is the best of provisions, not anything else. Not the gold and silver that we have amassed, not the wealth that we have, not the cars that we have, etc., etc. Rather, it is the woman. It is a righteous woman who is the best of friends, who is the best of provisions. Meaning a righteous woman who is your true, a righteous woman who is your true, who is your wife. That she is truly your best mate, and she is truly that which is the most precious thing in this world. So if Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, going back to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, if Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is our best friend, then how do we make Allah Subhanahu wa Taala love us? I will go through 4 points to make sure that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala loves us and make sure that we understand how to win the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and then I will move on to how to win the love of the friendship, how to win the friendship of people, mankind, the people that we live around. First of all, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, without doubt, you must understand that you cannot love Allah except that you should fear Him, and you cannot fear Him except that you should love Him, and you cannot love and fear Him except that you should have hope in Him. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala therefore deserves our love, our fear and our hope. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala truly, if you wish to love Him, then you must fear Him. And if you wish to be close to Him, come close to Him, then you must love, you must fear Him. As Allah says in the Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run away from Allah to Allah. You run away from Allah, from the punishment of Allah, from the fear of Allah, to what? To the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is truly what will cause Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to love you. As we know in the Hadith al-Qudsi, as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has said, مَقْتَرَبَ عَبْدِ إِلَيَّ بِأَحَبِّ شَيْءٍ مِمَّا افْتَرَبْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. As Rasulullah Sallam had said, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, that my slave have never come close to me with anything that which is more beloved to me than that which I have obligated upon him. Then when he does more extra deeds, then I become the hand with which he throws, by the leg with which he walks, etc., by the mouth by which he talks, as in the hadith as we already know. And this shows therefore that basically our speech is only the pleasure of Allah, our actions are only the pleasure of Allah, our walking and our companionship is only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we truly look after this and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we truly have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a friend. Another hadith tells us, the second part, is how to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us, is kathratul istighfar, is to make a lot of tawbah. And truly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in authentic hadith in Muslim, he said that the people who make more repentance, they are the best friends of Allah. They are the best friends of Allah. The best friends of Allah therefore are the ones who always repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, is to love the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, verily Allah and his angels send blessings and praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all you who believe, send your blessings and praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the tafsir of this verse, as we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that whoever prays upon me one salah, that Allah sends a blessing upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it 10 times. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him so much that he does it 10 times. So this is another way to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Truly, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, say, O Muhammad, truly, if you love Allah, then follow me, then Allah will love you." Meaning, not only when you follow me, that is a condition which will truly prove your love to Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return that love for you, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly gives back the ibadah that you have done to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The action that you have done to Allah, Allah does it back to you. In tansurullah yansurukum. If you help Allah, Allah help you. If you remember Allah, fadhkuruni adhkurukum. If you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. In the same way, truly, if you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you're obedient to the religion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also listen to your dua and love you. If you love Rasulullah and you love Allah, then Allah will surely also love you back. The talk today about the art of winning friends is not about how to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that is truly important. However, the talk today really is about the art of winning friends, about the people that we have around us. How do we win the love of the people around us? How do we, for example, of a Muslim living in the West with all these pressures on his life, with the pressures from the Muslimin and with the pressures from the disbelievers? How do we in the West truly make sure that we win friends, that we fortify ourselves with those people who want khair for us and not those people who are jealous of us? How do we make sure that we truly have this? This is the real purpose of our talk today. Before we go into that, before I talk about the seven articles of how to win friends, I would like to mention to you three fundamental principles about people's psychology. Three fundamental principles about that everyone needs to know about everyone else. In fact, that everyone needs to know about himself as well, which he does not even realize sometimes. And when we understand these principles of a person's behavior, these principles of a person's attitude, then you will truly understand how to deal with individuals. And the first and most important of this, brothers and sisters in Islam, is that people don't like to be criticized. People don't like to be criticized. People never like that you should come to them and condemn them, or that you should ever come to them and tell them what mistakes they have. Never. People absolutely don't like to be criticized, because people 99% of the time don't see any fault in themselves. Okay, this is normal generally, okay? Whether Muslims or non-Muslims, everyone, you know, in equality, everyone is the same. They can't see problems with themselves. When they look in the mirror, they see a perfect individual. When they look in the mirror, they see someone they're in love with. When they look in the mirror, they see someone who they think are going to Jannah. When they look in the mirror, they see someone who is, subhanAllah, a pinnacle of perfection. And so people don't think about themselves that they have anything wrong. That is why the first and most important thing to realize is that when you approach a person, you must not condemn him. You must not criticize. So criticism and condemnation is a big no-no when you're talking about how to make friends. Because people don't think that they are wrong. This is something, wallahi, this is, you know, it is very, very important to realize. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the Qur'an, He tells us in the Qur'an about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and advises Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with an important advice that sometimes we gloss over without truly realizing its importance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qur'an, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّاً غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Rasulullah ﷺ, who is the merciful of mankind, who has the best of manners, if he were to be hard of heart, if he were to be harsh upon individuals, and what do you mean by harsh? Meaning, you know, always severe on them, telling them what their mistakes, telling them what they're wrong, condemning the people, etc. If he were to be like that, then the people would run away from him. لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about his slaves. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us so he truly knows us. And he is the one who's telling us that truly people don't like to be criticized. So you should not come to people with criticism initially. Rather, you should always come to them with praise. And I will come to that is the second point. The first point is people don't like to be criticized. People don't like to be criticized. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ gave an advice to every da'i. Rasulullah ﷺ gave advice to every caller to Islam. And he said, Bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Yassiru wa la tu'assiru. He said, Bashiru, give glad tidings. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. And don't make people run away from you. How do you make people run away from you? People are bad. People are this. People are that. We're all doing zina. We're all doing haram. We're all this and we're that. And subhanAllah, things like this, okay, causes people to run away from you. And this is not the way a da'i should act. This is not the way a person should be if he wants to truly have friends. He should not criticize people in that manner. Neither should he condemn people in that manner. There is a manner for that, a time for that. Yes, you have to be a righteous friend to your friend. But realize, no one likes to be criticized. Just like, for example, one of the most difficult jobs that I've ever done is that I used to work as an IT debugger. Okay, you know what a debugger is? A debugger is a person who used to go to other people who have done a program, and I would find faults in that program. And I would find problems of how the program is going to have problems and how it's going to actually fail when it's actually at the time of execution, right? And wallahi, I'll tell you what, no programmer would ever like to see that you come up with a problem in his code. And wallahi, he'll be like, it's like, no, that's not right, you know. And he'll always be negative and he'll never be upcoming. He'd never own up his mistake. And he'd always try to show you, no, he's, you know, this program is definitely going to work and it's going to work right. And wallahi, I'm telling you, this is the most difficult job I had. Because people would never own up their mistake. Even though they know computer programs can always have faults, they know this essentially. And essentially they know that this is your job, but still people will never own up their mistake. It is for this reason, brothers and sisters in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa had never used to scold his servants, never used to scold his helpers. In fact, Anas radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik, and he was a small helper, Rasulullah, a young man. And he used to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not as a servant, but as a khadim, not as a slave, but as a servant, a helper of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his parents, as we will come to in the second talk, about love and marriage. Anas, we will talk about Anas inshallah. And Anas, he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. And he said, Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told me off in the 10 years. He never told me don't do it this way. Or he never told me why did you do this. He never criticized me. Wallahi, 10 years. And a small child makes so many mistakes. Small child makes so many mistakes, Wallahi, you know, drives you mad sometimes. Why did you do that? Who touched my computer? Who put this way? Who spilled the milk? Who broke that glass? SubhanAllah, little children do this all the time. Rasulullah never scolded him in 10 years. And Anas radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah always used to meet me with a smile on his face. Truly, this is important for us to realize. Criticism of individuals is a big no-no if you truly want to have friends. Stay away from criticism of individuals. Because truly, even you don't understand. Even you don't understand that you have criticism, that you have mistakes. And in fact, in one of the great wars of the American civil liberty movement at that time, when Abraham Lincoln was the leader of one of the groups, and his general did not obey him. His general, one of his generals, he told his generals to attack the raiding party, but he did not obey him. You know, it was known that the president was truly Abraham Lincoln was truly a individual who never used to criticize people, and one of the reasons why he was so successful in winning friends and so successful in being a politician, one of the reasons was that was his lack of criticism, and that he would not criticize. Yes, he would fix the problems of the people, but in a way in which we will discuss how to fix the problems of the people without criticizing them openly. Because no one likes criticism, no one likes negative advice. And I'd like to read to you from what one of the writers have written about a father who forgets. And I just gave you an example of how Rasulullah never scolded Anas radiallahu anhu. And I want to read to you about how an author, Livingston Learned, his name was, he wrote in Reader's Digest something which is actually published numerous times in Reader's Digest because of his true beauty, about how beautiful his speech was and his writing was. And this is about a father who always used to scold his son, as against, of course, the hadith of Rasulullah, which was that he would never criticize. And look at what he writes. Livingston, W. Livingston Learned, he writes in his article, Father Forgets, and this is something which is published in Reader's Digest. He says, Listen, son, I am saying this to you as you lie asleep. One little paw crumbled under your cheek and the blonde curls sticking wetly, wet on your damp forehead. I have stolen into your room alone. Just a few minutes ago, as I sat reading my paper in the library, a stifling wave of remorse swept over me. Guiltily, I came to your bedside. There are things I was thinking, son. I had been cross to you. I scolded you as you were dressing for school because you gave your face merely a dab with a towel. I took you to task for not cleaning your shoes. I called out angrily when you threw some of your things on the floor. At breakfast, I found fault too. You spilled things. You gulped down your food. You put your elbows on the table. You spread butter too thick on your bread. And as you started off to play and I made for my train, you turned and waved a hand and said, "Goodbye, Daddy." And I frowned and said in reply, "Hold your shoulders back, young man." Then it began all over again in the late afternoon. As I came up the road, I spied you down your knees playing marbles. There were holes in your stockings. I humiliated you before your boyfriends, the marching you ahead of me to the house. Stockings were expensive, and if you had to buy them, you would be more careful. Imagine that, son, from a father. Do you remember later when I was reading in the library how you came in timidly with a sort of hurt look in your eyes? When I glanced up over my paper, impatient at the interruption, you hesitated at the door. "What is it that you want?" I snapped. You said nothing, but ran across in one tenacious plunge and threw your arms around my neck and kissed me, and your small arms tightened with an affection that God had sent blooming in your heart and which even neglect could not wither. And then you were gone, pattering up the stairs. Well, son, it was shortly afterwards that my paper slipped from my hands, and a terrible, sickening fear came over me. What has habit been doing to me? The habit of finding fault, of scolding people. This was my reward to you for being a boy. It was not that I did not love you. No, no, no. It was that I expected too much of youth. I was measuring you by the yardstick of my own years. And there was so much that was good and fine and true in your character. The little heart of you was as big as the dawn itself over the white hills. This was shown by your spontaneous impulse to rush in and kiss me goodnight. Nothing else matters tonight, my son. I have come to your bedside in the darkness and I have knelt there ashamed. It is a feeble atonement. I know you would not understand these things if I told them to you during your waking hours. But tomorrow I will be a real daddy. I will chum with you and suffer when you suffer and laugh when you laugh. I will bite my tongue when impatient words come. I will keep saying as if it were a ritual, he is nothing but a boy, a little boy. I am afraid I have visualized you as a man. Yet as I see you now, son, crumpled and weary in your cot, I see that you are still a baby. Yesterday you were in your mother's arms, your head on her shoulders. I have asked too much, too much. And this is truly, subhanAllah, a father who is regretting how he used to be with his son, scold him all the time, not realize how truly little children always make mistakes. You know how we always rush to criticize, whether it be our children or anyone else, we rush to criticize, forget our own criticism. The second thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, about knowing about people. The first thing is knowing not to criticize them. No one likes to be criticized. The second thing is to give honest and sincere appreciation. And I don't mean that you should talk about flattery, you know, flattering the person. But I mean giving them honest, sincere praise that is truly deserving of them. And every person has something good about him. And wallahi, Rasulullah gave advice to the person who wants to divorce his wife. And he said, let a person who sees something bad from his wife not become angry, for it may be that he hates her for something or dislikes something about her, but there's something else that he likes. Of course, there must be something else that he likes. He married her. He married her, and therefore he must like something about her. So always look towards the good things. And in fact, I remember one of my friends, he was telling me how his wife came to him, and she was a righteous woman, how he came to him and he said, write down the 6 things which you'd want me to change about myself. Write down 6 things. And of course, she did this after she read a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, wallahi, if you were to suck the pus off your husband's wounds, this would not make up for what your husband has done for you. And so when she read this hadith, she felt very, very remorseful, and she wanted to be a better wife. And she came to my friend and said to her husband and said, oh my husband, here is a piece of paper, here is a pen, write down 6 things that you want me to change. And so wallahi, you know what I did? He was telling me. He said, I went back to my library and I started to write 6 things down. And I said, she has to change this, she has to change that, and this and that and this and that. And then I looked at the paper and said, subhanAllah, if I were to give this to her, this would break her heart. So what I wrote down on the piece of paper is, I love you as you are. What did he write? He said, I love you as you are. And then he ordered a bunch of roses and he put that piece of paper in the bunch of roses and he gave that to her. And wallahi, her face, you know, flared up with joy and tears came down her eyes. She couldn't believe how truly, wallahi, you know, how much he truly loved her. And this had a better impact in her changing herself to the better, isn't it? Wallahi, you know, subhanAllah, if you had given the person 6 things to change about you, this and that, change your hair, change your lipstick, change your clothes. And this wouldn't have achieved the same effect as this little letter of how I love you the way you are, and this note of appreciation and sincere praise has achieved. Wallahi, you know, this is the way to winning the hearts of your wives, brothers truly, and sisters truly. This is the way to winning the hearts of your spouses. Tell them how much truly they appreciate you. And wallahi, I did this with my wife when she was giving birth. And when she gave birth and I saw the difficulty she was going through, I wrote her a small letter saying, subhanAllah, you know, this is, you know, words can't express how much truly what you have done for me. You know, how you have given me a child. You know, words cannot express it. And truly when I did that, wallahi, you know, any problems that I might have had with her were fixed. She was never, again, you know, she never did anything which would displease me. She would never do anything which would be in my displeasure. And wallahi, praise does to people what criticism can never achieve. Praise and appreciation and sincere. This is sincere, isn't it? Wallahi, it is sincere. It is not flattery. It is not like a person goes to a king and tries to flatter him up and pump him up. No. This is sincere praise which is truly deserving of every single person. And Rasulullah used to praise his companions. He used to praise his companions, and this would cause them to increase in their ibadah. We find Rasulullah SAW used to praise Abdullah ibn Umar, and once he said in an authentic hadith in Bukhari, he said, "What a righteous man Abdullah ibn Umar is." He said, "What a righteous man Abdullah ibn Umar is," and the companions narrate, and the scholars of hadith narrate that after Abdullah ibn Umar, he heard this praise of Rasulullah ﷺ about himself, he increased in his love for Rasulullah ﷺ, and from that day on, anything that Rasulullah ﷺ ever did, anything that Rasulullah ﷺ ever did, he would do it. Until if Rasulullah ﷺ went and urinated in a particular place, he would go and urinate in that place. Until if Rasulullah ﷺ on his travels, he stopped under a tree, he would make sure he stops under that tree and he follows Rasulullah ﷺ in every single thing that Rasulullah ﷺ used to do. Imagine what praise can do to an individual. Praise and appreciation can do to an individual what criticism can never achieve. The third thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, the third thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, is to arouse in the other people an eager desire. And if you want to criticize, if you want to make people do something, the first is don't criticize them, second is appreciate them, and the third thing is to arouse in the person, that a person always wants to be aroused by himself to do that which he should be doing. I'll give you an example what I mean. When we were fundraising and fundraising for Charity Appeal and for the tsunami disaster that happened, and I thought about how to talk and I was on Islam Channel and we were talking about how to raise some money and how would I motivate people. We were thinking about how to speak to people, and wallahi, we thought that okay, there are two approaches. One is telling people about the fire and telling them how if they don't pay up, they're headed for the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, when I came to you asking for help, you do not help me, etc., etc. Using those hadith of Rasulullah that say that a person who doesn't give, then he is headed for the fire. And then I thought, no, there's another way, and that is to make the person desire to give. And that is to make the person by himself want to help. By making him want to help and by making him want to give, how? By arousing the interest in him. And this is the best way on how to cause a person to do something. And truly, this is what we did. So we concentrated only on those things that would cause a person want to open his heart and give. Like the hadith of Ajr, like the narrations about Rasulullah ﷺ, about rewards, about the person who gives charity, the rewards from the ayah of the Quran, about charity, etc., etc., in a way in which the people themselves would want to give, until we found that this has always been the way that people would end up doing their deeds better and in a better fashion. And this has always been the way of motivators, this has always been the way of psychologists, that they would always motivate the person by themselves and encourage them to actually do their deeds. Like for example, person wants to charge you a lot of money for business, for example. Or let me give you another pertinent example. Let's say you want to have a job and you're writing a CV, a letter. And in the letter you say, I am this and that, and I have attained this degree, and I have this experience. And wallahi, if a person, as an employer, and I'm an employer, I employ people, when I look at their letter, I say, subhanAllah, this guy is mentioning what he has. What am I going to do with this guy? Chuck it out. Rather, I'd like to see a letter wherein he will tell me how he can benefit me. How he can use his skills to benefit me. And this is what would motivate me to hire him. And this is how we should also act. If we want someone to do something, if you want to change the activity of a person towards something, we don't tell him to do that thing, rather we show him how he can benefit from that. How he will truly benefit himself through doing that deed. And this is exactly the way to motivate people. This is exactly the three things that we need to know about individuals, about people, before we even go into how to win friends. The first is don't criticize. Second is people don't like to be criticized. Second is that people like to be appreciated. And the third thing is that people are jealous, are self-conceited. They want to only benefit themselves. So bring about a change in their behavior by showing how they can benefit themselves through that action that you are asking them to do. Let's move on, brothers and sisters in Islam. And in fact, I want to give you an example of how Rasulullah did that. How he would make people want to do that by showing them that they can benefit themselves. So he said, for example, in the Battle of Hunayn, in the battle in which the Muslims were large in number, but their number did not benefit them against the enemy. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Man qatala qatilan falahu salabu." Whoever kills a enemy combatant, then for him is his wealth. For him is whatever he carries. For him is whatever that combatant carries. So therefore everyone will try and kill the highest of the combatants, the most strongest, because obviously they will be more powerful, more armor, more wealth, you know, their horse, etc., etc. And this is a way in which Rasulullah would encourage them to say that you will benefit yourself if you truly do that which is right. And also, for example, Surah Ar-Rahman, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving constant examples of how we can truly benefit ourselves if we strive. How? Of the Jannahs and the Hurul Eid, of the paradise, of the blessings of Allah, and the numerous countless blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And then He keeps telling us what? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَ تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the blessings of your Lord will you deny? And wallahi, this is a way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this principle of trying to motivate people by telling them how they can truly benefit from this act themselves. Let's move on, brothers and sisters in Islam, to this, you know, seven principles which I have tried to gather on how to truly win friends and how to make sure that the person who is next to you truly becomes your friend, or your colleagues truly become your friend, or the Muslim brothers that you know truly become your friend. The first, brothers and sisters in Islam, is to be genuinely interested in people. Have you thought about the dog? You know, people say the dog is a man's best friend. Have you ever thought, why is the dog the man's best friend? Because the dog is so interested in you. Have you seen, for example, when you, obviously, alhamdulillah, we don't have dogs, but let's say the people who have dogs. Have you ever seen, for example, a movie in which Lassie, and you guys seen Lassie? You know, this was in my time, but 12, 13 years ago, when we used to see TV and all that before we accepted Islam properly. And Lassie was a dog. It was a very, cuddly dog and all that. And whenever the kids used to come, Lassie would be jumping and would be just, you know, at the gates and woof, 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 and congratulating you and saying welcome with a big smile on his face. Have you noticed the dog is the only animal that doesn't have to earn its living? Whereas the chicken has to lay its egg. Whereas the cow has to give milk. Every animal has to earn its living, isn't it? For us to look after it. But the dog is the only person who doesn't have to earn its living, doesn't do anything. And people will, mashallah, buy the best of dog food and will buy the best of collars. Mashallah, I see people over here, they even put jackets on their dogs, mashallah, from the cold. It's truly amazing, isn't it? The dog is the only animal that doesn't have to earn its living. Why? Because it is truly interested in you. It is really interesting. It's a real friend because it is so interested in you. And let's therefore learn from this dog. And as we know, Rasulullah ﷺ, truly this is true, isn't it? That's why we like dogs, because that's why human beings say the dog is a man's best friend, because it's truly interested and truly interested in you. And as we know as well, one of the reasons why the companions used to love Rasulullah ﷺ was that Rasulullah ﷺ was truly interested in them as well. As Allah says in that ayah which we repeat all the time, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَعَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. As Allah says in the Quran, verily a man from amongst you has come, a messenger from amongst you has come, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَعَنِتُّمْ, it is difficult on him that he should have any problems, any hardship. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, he is ever earnest and eager over you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, verily over the believers he is truly kind and merciful. See how Rasulullah was so eager striving for our good. So eager and striving for our good. This was Rasulullah. And this is why he was our best friend as well. We find that Alfred Elden, and he was one of the psychologists, he writes in his book, What Life Should Mean to You. And this is a book I've read actually. Alhamdulillah, one of the books I have actually made myself read, because it's actually a good book. It says here, it says in the book, it is the individual who is not interested in his fellow men who has the greatest difficulties in life and provides the greatest injury to others. It is from amongst such individuals that all human suffering spring. Truly, when you're not interested in other people and you're self-conceited and you're only worried about yourself, that truly this is the individual who has no benefit to others. And he is the one who has no friends. Have you seen, for example, in the movies, forgive me for anyone who is blonde here, but you know how the movies, they always have this blonde bimbo, they call it, as we say, blonde bimbo. She is so self-conceited, she knows she's beautiful, and all she does is talks about herself. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, this concept of blonde bimbo that we have in our understanding is a person who is a blonde woman. She is beautiful and pretty, but all she thinks about is herself. She is so self-conceited. And no one likes that person, isn't it? She is always the comic relief in the movies, isn't it? And she's also the person who no one is interested in such a person. And so, such is So we find therefore truly a person who is not interested in other people, and they are the ones, as this Alfred Woolden had said, Alden, he said in his book, that it is among such individuals that all human suffering spring. And we find as well in one of the statistics that I came across on the internet was that the telephone companies in New York, they once did a survey of the amount of words that are used in any conversation. So they did a random survey of 500 phone calls. And from the random survey of 500 phone calls, they found that the word that was used the most was used 3,900 times. Which word do you think is used the most? I. MashaAllah, that's it. I. This is the most used word, meaning that people are so worried about themselves. They only think about themselves. You want to have friends? Be truly interested in the people. Be like the dog who is so interested in its friends. Right, we move on to the second one. And that is how to win friends, except by one of the most beautiful charities that we can do. And that is smile. That is smile. Wallahi, a smile says 1,000 words. A smile says 1,000 words. And in fact, one of the signboards outside a Christmas shopping center that I happened to go to in Australia had something very, very interesting, and I wrote it down. It was very nice. I wrote it down. And it said the following. It said, a smile. And it said, a smile. He said, you know, there's a big smiley face, and said, smile. Okay, that was the title, said smile. And then it says, smile is something that costs nothing but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich that can get along without it, and none are so poor but are richer for its benefits. It is rest for the weary, daylight to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and nature's best medicine for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, cannot be begged, cannot be borrowed or stolen, for it is something that no earthly good to anybody, and it is no earthly good to anybody till it is given away. Nobody needs a smile as much as those who have none to give. Truly, this is beautiful, and this is what a smile is. And truly, smile has an effect on individuals that you just cannot imagine. And Anas radiallahu anhu used to say that I never met Rasulullah except that he smiled at me. And Rasulullah used to say, "Al-ibtisamu ila wajhi akhika sadaqa." He said, to smile to the face of your brother is sadaqa, is charity. And wallahi, Rasulullah used to always go to his family in a smile, with a smile on his face. And a smile is so important. I know when the dog smiles at you, if the dog can't smile. But if a dog, let's say a little baby. You know, when I had my first child, and you know, obviously all he used to do was cry, and he'd not smile. I said, what is this? What is wrong with this little boy of mine? And then when he was two or three, and then the first smile he gives, and when he recognizes you and the smile, the happiness in his face, it is worth $1 million. It is worth £1 million. Even more than that, subhanAllah. The smile, you know, when you see them in the airport, when you've been away for a couple of months, away from your family, the smile on their face is enough, subhanAllah. It is enough. It is worth more than this world, subhanAllah. So truly a smile is a great gift. It is essential for anybody who wants to make friends to smile, not to frown. And nobody likes someone who frowns. Nobody likes those people who have a frown on his face. People love those people who always smile. And that is why we find that even call centers, as we know, even, you know, the call centers, and these are places that you call, you know, whenever you have a trouble, for example, you have something with the phone line, you call the problem centers. And when you call them, and I used to work for a call center once, and they used to tell us, smile even when you're talking, and this will show through your speech. They used to tell us, smile when you're talking as well, and this will show through your speech as well. And wallahi, have you ever seen, if you've ever gone to McDonald's or any of these big shopping centers, those people over there, they always smile. They're always in a smiley mood, even when you have a problem with them. And the troubleshooters, those people who deal with problems, they're the ones who smile the most, isn't it? And so truly, this smile is truly important, truly important. If you cannot do anything for your friend or accept smile, you cannot afford to give a gift, then just smile, wallahi. This is one of the most important advices that a person can give about smiling. And the third one, brothers, essential tip for how to win friends is to remember the person's name. You have to remember the person's name. You can't say your name was Abdullah, Muhammad, no. You have to remember the person's name. And wallahi, it is so important to call the person by his first name or to know the person's name. It is just so important. When a person doesn't know your name, it is, and you met him a number of times. And you know, for example, I meet a lot of people and I go around all the time. And wallahi, I have this major problem. And so what I have done is I have a small diary that I have written down some of the names of the people that I have met in every single place. So I will remember, and every time I go there, I remember, okay, this is, his name was Shafiq, and he was from this place, and he would look like this, okay? And this brother was this, and he had a white beard, and he was this, and this, and this. And so I remember myself, at least I can always remind myself of their first names, etc. So when you can at least call upon them, they know that you are interested in them, and that you are someone of importance to them. And in fact, the newspapers note that Theodore Roosevelt, who was one of the presidents of America, one of the reasons why he won the election was because he could memorize, he remembered 50,000 names. He could remember 50,000 names. He used to call everybody from his drivers to his cooks, to his maids, to his personal assistants, to people that he met, everybody with his first name. And in fact, one of the biggest insults to a politician is when you say, who is the president of this and this, and he does not know the name. Or for example, as George Bush, as he had said, the Pakis, and he couldn't even remember the proper name, as Allahu Musta'an. So truly knowing the first name of people and knowing how to call on people is truly important. And I also remember reading about the history of Napoleon, that Napoleon was one of those masters of character. And he had a way of winning people. The way he used to do it is that he used to write down names, and he used to ask the person his name in different ways. So, brother, what's your name? He would say, for example, Rahim. And so, let's say, for example, it's a stranger, and he would say, oh, sorry, I didn't get that again. And then he would repeat it again. And then he would say, okay, how do you spell that? That's a third time. So you see, he has asked for his name in different ways. So he has learned his name in different ways. Then he would write this down on a piece of paper. Then he would memorize that name, and then he would throw that piece of paper away. In that way, he would remember the first names of individuals. And truly, if you look at it, this is an important tool. Wallahi, these are very small tips. Very small, but they're essential in winning friends. They're essential tips in how to make people love you and truly remember you. And that is that you remember their first names. Because it really shows that you are not just a dot in his world, rather that you are an individual, someone of importance in his life. Okay, that you've actually bothered to remember his name. Until even the psychologists, they say something very important. And they say that the person's name is the most sweetest and most important sound in any language. The person's name is the most sweetest thing to him. The most sweetest thing you can say is his name. And so truly try and remember the people's name who you want them to be your friends. Number four is to be a good listener. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us one mouth and two ears for a purpose. That is that we listen more than we speak. And this is very, very important to realize. It is imperative that a person who wants to have friends to be a good listener. No one wants you to come up to him and just keep on speaking about yourself and say, oh, I did this and I went there. Or for example, let's say, when I go back to Australia, I start talking, oh, I went there and I did this and I did that. And no one wants to hear about you. No. No one's interested in you. Everyone is interested in their own selves. Okay. In our classes in psychology, and I've studied psychology for 2 years, our professors used to say something very... There was a very nutty professor that I had. And he was... But he came up with, mashallah, a lot of wise sayings. And one of the most wisest thing that he said once is this quote that I'm going to mention to you. He said, those people who talk only of themselves are hopelessly uneducated. They are not educated no matter how instructed they may be. Okay? Those people who just talk about themselves, no one truly likes these sort of individuals. Because all they do is talk about themselves, they are self-conceited, and they are like that blonde bimbo that I was talking about, who only talks about herself. And as we know, Rasulullah ﷺ was not like that. He would always engage the other person, listen more than he spoke. Always let the other person finish, whether it be speaking or whatever they are doing. In fact, even we find when that Arab came into the mosque, and he was urinating, what did Rasulullah ﷺ say? Da'ahu, let him finish. Meaning, let the man finish. Don't stop him. For whatever reason, some people say, okay, that's because stopping him whilst he's urinating may harm his body. That's one thing. However, really the matter of the fact is the Rasulullah was a good listener, that he would let the other person finish and do what he had to do, thereafter instruct him, advise him, and do whatever he needed to do. And this is essential for us to be friends with people. People always want us to listen to them, not for you to speak about yourself. The fifth thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, that is to talk in terms of other people's interests only. Talk in terms of other people's interests only. What is the best way to speak to a parent? What is the best way to speak to a parent? What do you think, brother? If you know a brother and sister, for example, sorry? No, how would you speak to a parent? I'm saying, you know, a person who has children. Ayo Akhtar, how would you speak to him? The best way, what is the best way to engage that person and to truly make him interested and show you that he means someone to you? What is it? About the children, exactly, wallahi. Exactly. What a beautiful child you have. MashaAllah, this is a flower. This is not a human being. This is a little angel. And you talk about them and you give them gifts. What is the way to the parents' heart? But to the children. So you always talk about that which interests them. The guy, he loves sports cars. MashaAllah, talk about sports cars with him. And wallahi, he will melt in your hands. Talk about sports cars. You know nothing about sports cars. You know nothing about it, but just keep on talking. Oh, do you have a twin turbo, or do you have an intercooler, and what type of car do you have? V6? Is it etc. You know, just engage him in that, and he will be interested in you. Wallahi, some of the people, their interests are the most boring of things: botany, chemistry, you know, astronomy, and etc. Or someone is so interested in his own field, and when you engage him in that, wallahi, he will be your best friend as well. And he will truly find you an engaging experience. And he will always remember the fact that you are more interested in him rather than yourself talking about who you are. This is truly important. Always engage the person's interest. If it's a child, if it's a parent, through his children. If it's through praising his children, through talking about the child. If it's a person with a particular hobby, then through that hobby. And so it actually is good for you to understand this person who you want him to be a friend, what he truly is interested in. And wallahi, this is truly important advice. Number six is to make other people feel important and to give them honest appreciation. And wallahi, this is something that I will never forget. And this is something which wallahi I learned from our teachers ourselves. And our teacher, which is one of our elder teachers, was Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti, hafizahullah, who is one of the teachers in the university, and he's also a teacher in the Haram of Medina. In one of his tapes, in the tape on explanation of Zad al-Mustaqna, which is one of the books of the Hanbali scholars in fiqh, he explained the chapter of Nikah, in the first tape, in the chapter of marriage. As you know, Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti was explaining this book in the mosque of Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, which is in Makkah. So Sheikh Shanqiti, he used to go to Makkah every week, couple of times, and he would deliver lectures on explaining Zad al-Mustaqna to the people, and he would speak to the people, and he would obviously give explanation of this book. So once it happened that before he started his lecture, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, happened to come into the mosque, and he sat down on the side in order to listen to Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti. So Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti, he realized it was Sheikh bin Baz. He realized it was Sheikh bin Baz, and he stopped his lecture. And this is found in his tape. You can find this tape on Islamway and other places. This tape where he talks about where he actually stopped his lecture, and it is actually beginning, but he stopped his lecture and he started to talk about Sheikh bin Baz. And he went up, he got up from his chair, and he brought Sheikh bin Baz and made him sit in his chair, and he sat down on the ground, and he started to praise Sheikh bin Baz and talk about how much an important individual he was. And he kept on praising the man so much until Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti, you know, he cried. He happened to cry and say, wallahi, he does not befit someone like me to be here when our Sheikh, our great Mufti, is here, and etc. And he's like a father to us, and how much we have benefited from him. And this is all on the tape. And wallahi, he kept on doing this until Sheikh bin Baz had to tell him to stop, that is enough. And then Sheikh bin Baz took the microphone from him, and then he started to praise Shanqiti. He started to praise Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti so much until wallahi you realize that the reason why Sheikh bin Baz did this was because of the tawadu, of the humbleness of Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar for his Sheikh. And wallahi, this just shows how to make other people feel important is so important. And when you make other people feel important, they will melt in your hands. What I used to do when I used to go to certain mosques in the UK, and this is something I used to advise my brothers who go to certain mosques, for example, wherein people are not, wherein, for example, Ahl Sunnah are looked, frowned upon. And I used to go to these mosques, and I would see, for example, the people would say, okay, there's a guy coming from Medina, and they would say, oh, he's a Wahhabi, he's wearing the gutra. That's why actually I've stopped wearing the gutra now. But they would say he's a Wahhabi, he's wearing the gutra, he's wearing the shimag, etc., wearing the head cover, as you know, the people in Medina wear, and he's coming here, he's a Wahhabi, he's going to take our children away from us. You know the first thing I used to do? I used to go up to all the old men. I used to hug them and I used to kiss them on their forehead. And you know what? All the old men would line up. All of them would line up to get a kiss on their forehead. All of them would line up. And everyone would want a kiss on their forehead, subhanAllah. And I found this amazing. After that, they would always be helpful. And they wouldn't mind if I didn't do dua after salah. They wouldn't mind at all. And they wouldn't mind if I gave the khutbah in English. They wouldn't mind if I did not, for example, if I raised my hands in salah. They wouldn't mind. They said, mashallah, he's a nice man. Every time I saw them, I would go and kiss them on their forehead. And they would all line up. Every time they would line up to get a kiss on their forehead. And wallahi, this is the way to make to the hearts of the people. Make them feel important. Make them feel people of authority. And when we do this, these simple affairs, perhaps this old man never got a kiss on his forehead. Perhaps this old man never, even his children never perhaps kissed him on his forehead to make him feel important. And it was the adab, it is, as you know, the adab in amongst the Muslimin, amongst the ulama as well, that they used to go to their elders and kiss them on their forehead as a way of signing respect and showing that they are the elders amongst the group. And you know, this would just, wallahi, it would make the elders melt in your hands. They were putty, you know putty? It was like that molding clay. I could mold them any way I wanted. SubhanAllah. Because of this little act and winning their hearts through this way. Last thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, that I want to mention in this talk today is to give them small gifts. Is to give them small but frequent gifts. And truly, giving a small gift is a way to the heart of your brother. As Rasulullah had said, Tahadu tahabu. Wallahi, you know, give gifts and you will love each other. Give presents and you will love each other. This is, brothers and sisters in Islam, in essence, the culmination of your love for the individual when you give someone a small gift. I mean, you think about it. When was the last time you gave your wife a gift? Why don't you, for example, women of this country, they love flowers. Why don't you buy a small flower, a small rose? You don't have to buy two, buy one. It means something. It means you are the only one. Don't buy two. Buy only one. Okay? It means something to women. Yes, it does. You know, these are the secrets to the heart of women. When you buy only one and you give that rose to her, the single rose, it means a lot to the individual. You know, small gifts like that truly is a way to the hearts of your wife and for the sisters, the way to the hearts of your husband. And of course, the way to the hearts of the men is through their stomachs, as they say. But you know, I'm sure you'll find other small gifts to give to your husband as well. But truly, giving small gifts truly increases the love that we have for each other. It shows that, wallahi, our love is truly not based upon material things. However, it is an expression of our love for that individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Can someone just mention to me, please, the three things I mentioned about about psychology of the people? Does anyone remember? Brother, do you remember what I mentioned?
Yeah,
the first is?
I don't know if I remember them in order.
No problem.
Criticized.
Yeah, no one likes to be criticized. No one likes to be condemned and criticized. Right, Raheem? What's the next one? Yes, everyone likes to be appreciated. Everyone loves praise and appreciation. And the third one, brothers? Yes, showing them their own personal benefit in doing what they want to do. Right? As like, for example, your child, when you buy him a bed, and for example, he wets the bed, and when you buy him a bed, you say, you're not going to wet your bed, are you? Then of course he's going to say, no, how can he wet his own bed? You know, this is the way to make sure that the child does what you want him to do. Okay, what are the seven things I mentioned on how to win friends? What are the seven things? And you know what? I have written this on top of my wall. In my room, when you go to it, smile. And it says there, don't criticize. And it says, I'm sure, I have to say that sometimes when I get too close to brothers, I end up joking a lot. But, you know, that's not to say that I don't look after these principles as well. But these are principles that you need to always look after. That is, first of all, what is the first principle, brothers? No, name. Okay, all right, name. Remembering their name. All right, Akhtar, what is it? Having genuine concern for the goodness of the people. Right? What else?
Engage with them regarding their interests.
engage with them regarding the interest. Yes, Omar. Giving gifts are the easiest one. All right, giving gifts. Another one. Yeah. Always be interested in them. Genuine interest for the people. Okay, we mentioned that already. But what? Okay, that's okay. Become genuinely interested in people. That's number five. What else, brothers?
Being a good listener.
Being a good listener. Thank you. And smile. That's it. Smile. And wallahi, with that, I'm sure you will win friends. You will win friends. These friends will be your best people, and they will be your best mates. Small things that we do all the time. Wallahi, this is the way to make sure that we win friends. And this is the true art of winning friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanallah, Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.